good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. I hope your week is off to a great start. Thanks again for joining us here on the Drivecast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor for the Marion campus. And this past Sunday, as we continued in the label series, we were in chapter 20. At the end of chapter 19, we see Jesus do something maybe seemingly a little bit crazy, but certainly right. He walks into the temple after he has triumphantly entered into Jerusalem, and he drives out those who were selling. These people were essentially taking advantage of other people, making them pay a certain amount of money to be able to do things that, you know, they would have been required to do, but by no means should have had to pay money to do in their worship of God. And that ticks Jesus off. And so he drives them out. He flips tables. He doesn't mess around. He has a holy and a righteous anger in there. And in the very next chapter, beginning in verse 1, as Jesus has sort of set up shop in the temple and is teaching and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, come up to him and they say, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things," they said. "Who gave you this authority?" And so in that, we sort of have the setting of the stage for the entire chapter. It's really very much about authority. Whose authority, what authority, and by what authority Jesus can come into the temple, clear all these money lenders out and these different shops and things like that. And by what authority has he been performing these miracles? It's all about authority in this chapter. And he sort of flips things on its head, and he asks them about John the Baptist. And so he says, you know, who was John the Baptist from? Because John the Baptist said that I was going to be the Messiah. And if you deny John the Baptist, then, well, you're going to tick off a whole bunch of people, because people believe John the Baptist to be a legitimate prophet. But if you say he was a legitimate prophet, well, then if he says I'm the Messiah, then I am, and you're in the wrong. And so from there, you know, of course, the elders and the priests, they don't know how to answer because they'd be condemning themselves. And then Jesus goes on to tell yet another parable that teaches the hardness of heart and the evil that was in these religious leaders' hearts. And the parable is of the evil farmers, or the wicked tenants. Specifically, this translation I'm reading here today says the evil farmers. And the way it goes is, you know, there's a vineyard owner who represents God the Father, and he plants the vineyard, which represents the nation of Israel and the Jews. If you look in Isaiah chapter 5, you see this sort of detailed plan of that. And there's the vine dressers, or the workers of the vineyard. They would have represented the Jewish leaders. And the owner of the vineyard sends out a servant to collect fruit from the vineyard. I mean, it's his vineyard. He has the right to do that. And the vine dressers, they brutally beat the servant. And this happens several times. The servants would have represented the prophets. And eventually, the owner of the vineyard sends the son, the heir. And the vine dressers, they see the son coming and they say, "Oh, this is the heir. Let's kill him." And because the thinking is, well, if the heir is coming, that must mean the owner's dead. So if we kill the heir, then everything will be ours, and we'll be in control, and we'll be in power. And just what a sick heart, right? And so, you know, that's what happens. They kill the heir, and this is obviously a prophetic pointing toward the crucifixion. And Jesus tells this parable, and it's very, very clearly about the leaders, the Pharisees, the ones who are questioning Jesus, and they just, you know, they're sort of in shock about this. They're in denial that this would be the case. And that was really striking and fascinating to me, how it is that these religious leaders, who would have had more Bible memorized than many of us have ever read, right, how they missed things so badly. And I think what we see, and I think Chad talked about this likely yesterday in the Drivecast and did an awesome job at Lewis Center this past Sunday, but this connection between an ownership mentality and a tenant mentality. And I think what's so dangerous here is sometimes we fall into a mentality in life to say we're in control. We're the owners of the vineyard. And when we think we're the owners, what happens is we begin to reject the authority of the true owner. The true owner comes to get fruit and we say, no, I'm in control here. You don't need that. Go away. Or the true owner says, "Hey, you need to do this." And we say, no, I don't think I want to be obedient there because I'm the owner and I want to do what I want to do. And so we are disobedient to scripture. And what happens over time is that hardness of heart to assume our own authority in things and our own ownership over things leads to a hardness of heart greater and greater that grows and eventually leads us to just outright rejection of God. That's what happens here. They kill the Son. They kill the Messiah. They kill God. Now, you know, I think one of the practical ways this works out is we read through our Bible and we see certain things we love and we see other things that are challenging. And I think the temptation is to reject certain things that we don't believe sound right to us. And the way I think we can sort of self-diagnose, do I have an owner mentality or do I have a servant mentality, is to ask yourself, are there things in the scriptures, are there things in the Bible that when I read them, I recoil and therefore reject? Are the things that I read that I don't like so much that I say that cannot be true, I will not believe it? If that happens to you regularly, frequently, I believe what that suggests and what that reveals in our hearts is that we have an owner mentality. And that is perhaps one of the most dangerous places to be in. The good news of the gospel is you can repent of that. We can all repent of that. And we can say, forgive me, Father, for the way in which I've sinned against you. Forgive me for thinking I'm in control, that I've got the authority here. Teach me, give me a heart of wisdom, give me a heart of understanding, give me a heart of humility, so that when I read your word, I obey it. And I think that translates into really every aspect of our lives. If we have biblical commands that we know we're supposed to be doing and we reject them, I think, again, what that reveals is maybe we've got an ownership heart. Now, what I'm not saying, you know, I think it could come across that I'm saying, well, just obey every word of the Bible and be better. You know, that's a simplified way to say this, but I think the heart here matters. As we read scripture and as we're challenged by it, I think the heart needs to be, Father, help me be more obedient. I know I'm going to fail. I know I'm not going to measure up, but praise God, Jesus measured up for me. Praise God, Jesus succeeded for me, but I want to be more and more like Jesus over time. I want to grow to be like Jesus over time. And God, would you work that in me? And so that's how I want to lead you into prayer today. I'm going to pray first and then you can pray. But really it's this, God, help me be more submissive to what you say, to what your word commands, to what your will is. Your will be done, not mine. And I think that is so much the heart of what it is to follow God, to be challenged and be confronted. And what that does is it brings us to the end of ourselves. And when we are brought to the end of ourselves, we are very much brought to the beginning of God. And so let's pray to that end today. Again, I'll kick us off. And again, thanks for joining us today. And then I want to give you some time to pray at the end. Father, we thank you so much for your word that it teaches us. And at the same time, it is so often so challenging. There are things in it that are hard to understand. There are things in it that are even hard to accept and believe. And I pray that you would remove from us an ownership heart that says, what I believe is absolute, or what I think is right, but rather a heart that says, Father, what you say is right. I want to submit to that. Would you reveal areas in my life where I'm not acting like a servant, where I am acting like an owner, and would you allow me to repent of that and to submit myself to your will, that your will would be done in my life, and therefore your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need you, we love you, and we come to you in Christ's name. Amen.